You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
We're starting our summer series in the book of Jonah, and today I'm going to be looking at chapter 1, and I want us to read it together. And in fact, it's not a long chapter. I'd like us to read it together. I'm reading from New King James, so if you've got other versions, it's going to look a little bit different, but we'll get there. So, and now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had laid down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation and where do you come from? What is your country and of what people are you?" So he said to them, "I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood for you. O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Just the thought of being thrown in the sea freaks me out, to be honest. You know, I have a phobia of boats, and whilst being away in Cornwall this last week, I was able to get on a boat, and we sailed around the ocean for half an hour and kind of tackled that fear. But even then, I'm just reminded of, like, you know, boats. But anyway, now let me talk about Jonah for a moment. Jonah was one of the 12 minor prophets. I'm sure no one would want to say that to his face. I don't know how tall he really was. But we've got Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. So those are the 12 minor prophets. And at the time of Jonah, Israel had an evil king. So Israel was the nation that Jonah was a part of, and they had an evil king. And the king was only interested in maintaining and extending the physical boundary and rule of Israel. That was his focus. The king and the nation, near enough, had turned their back on God. The prophets before Jonah had similar messages, and the messages, kind of paraphrased, was stop focusing on your physical boundaries. Your number one strategy needs to be to return to God, because he's your protector. So it's not about what you gain. It's not about, you know, how far the nation of Israel goes that's the number one focus. Actually, you need to refocus on the Lord again, because they totally took their eyes off of him. And the king wasn't listening to the prophets. He wasn't really that bothered, the various kings that came through. Empire building seemed to be the number one goal. And rather than addressing the spiritual and moral needs of the nation. So this is the backdrop of the book of Jonah. And this is what was going on with God's people at the time. But before I kind of dive into what I believe God's put on my heart for us this morning, and before we look at Jonah's journey, I've got a few questions, because just, and I really felt this as I was preparing, that I needed to ask you this. Do you have a plan for your life? Are you dissatisfied with what you have? Are you trying to keep up with the Joneses and extend your kingdom? Are you jealous when you see what other people have around you, whether it be physical things, whether it be the size of someone's house, what type of car they drive, the fact they even got a car, the job? Because if that's you this morning and you answer the word yes, I'm not going to get you to stand up or wave your hand at me or click a love button online. But what I would say is, if that does apply to you this morning, if you've answered any of those questions with the word, well, yeah, actually, yeah, then actually this kind of applies to you. The message that the prophets were trying to take to the kings of Israel, it applies to you. Stop focusing on those things. Your number one strategy needs to be returning to the Lord and focusing on him. Listen to what he says and do what he says, and he will take care of the rest. So there's nothing else that you hear this morning, and it's just that. Praise God. Praise God. But I want to continue with a little bit more of context in relation to what was going on around the life of Jonah. You see, in this moment, God had given Jonah a task to bring a word to this place called Nineveh. Now, you need to understand that Jonah wasn't being called to bring a message to Israel. This wasn't a prophetic word that he was going to bring to the Jewish people. This wasn't a prophetic word that he was going to bring to church people. Okay, Nineveh was Israel's enemy. So right in this moment, God is saying, Jonah, don't bring this word to your enemies. You see, Nineveh was a part of the Assyrian Empire. And we can look historically, when you read historically about the Assyrian Empire, you see that it was absolutely hardcore and brutal. In fact, there is one Jewish commentator that spelt it out, and I read this, right? It's quite vivid, slightly offensive. But the Assyrians were the Nazi stormtroopers of the ancient world. They were the, I can't even pronounce this word, but pitiless, there we go, power-crazed foe. They showed no quarter in battle, uprooting entire peoples in their fury for conquest. They extinguished the northern kingdom of Israel. For Jonah, Nineveh then was no ordinary city. It carried doom-laden, tragic memories. It stood as a symbol of evil incarnate. So when I heard the Bible story, I never had the privilege of going to Sunday school. I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. But when I read the book of Jonah story to my children, at no point did I ever think, oh, well, you know, in fact, to be honest with you, what I did think about Jonah was, what a worse. You know, God has said go, and he's saying, he's like, no, I'm not going to do that. But I didn't have the context of where God was asking him to go. There's the context. It's like God bringing a word to one of you during worship this morning and saying, off you go, go and find Putin and bring him a word. To say, what you're doing isn't very good, mate. That's the context. He was being called to the Gentiles. He was being called to the Gentiles, people that weren't following God, to call them to a place of repentance. Does that sound similar or familiar to something in our lives? A follower of God, has a message of repentance to bring to a bunch of people that aren't following him, aren't following God. Does that ring any bells? You see, the Jews were only focused on themselves. It would have been seen as quite controversial for a prophet of Israel, for a Jewish person to go and speak to a Gentile and bring a message from God to them. So actually, not only was Jonah being asked to go into evil ground zero, but he was also being asked to go completely against the flow of his traditions, completely against his culture, his people, his family, his friends. In fact, this call to go against the flow is actually something quite frequent we see in the Bible with various people. But in this moment, we've got Jonah, who has got the word of the Lord to go to Nineveh and go and bring a message of repentance. So what he is facing in this very moment is potential death if he responds to it and does what he said, does what God says. Or actually, if it all works out okay, when he returns home, complete rejection from his people. Another prophet, Elijah, actually is sent to Sidon to help a widow. Balaam is sent to Moab. Noah, Joshua, Deborah, Ruth, David, Amos, and Jeremiah all turn their backs on the established norms of society and culture, and they enter into new ways of living. You know, when I first became a Christian many years ago, I was reading through the Bible. And I thought, I'll start on the left and I'll work my way to the right. So that's what I did. And I read through the Old Testament. I thought, phew, that's brutal. What's going on there then? I got to the New Testament. I was like, oh, yeah, that's really good. Okay, yeah, this is exciting. This is great. And actually, early days, I kind of thought there was quite a mega contrast between Old Testament and New Testament. And I initially kind of thought, well, maybe these are just different books, you know. But actually, when you look at it, when you dig deep, you see that the Old Testament is always pointing towards Jesus. You can always find Jesus in the Old Testament. You can always find him. And in this moment, it's right here. God's will is for all to repent and follow him. He calls his servants to take a message of hope to those not following him. You see, it would have been much easier for Jonah in this moment to stay in Israel. He could have just said, you know what, God, actually, I'm not going to do that. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll stay in Israel and I'll have a bit of a moan about Nineveh from there. And I'll bring the message of, Nineveh, you have lost the plot and what you're doing is totally against God. And then he'll get the Israelites around him to go, yes and amen, yes, yes, yes. He may have even been able to start a ministry for himself and maybe, you know, started charging for some CDs, this message against Nineveh, and all the Israelites can gather all of the, yes, 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 and he's got absolute fame because they're all in agreement. Actually, it would have been easier for him in that moment to have actually stayed in Israel and just said, you know what, God, I know you've got a plan for me to go there, but actually, I'll just speak from this place. He would have been very popular. And the point of the matter is, friends, it's really easy as a church family, and I'm not just talking about locally, I'm talking about globally. It's very easy as a church family, we can complain to one another about the world's problems. Goodness, we can spend the next 3 hours here today talking about how the world should be like this, the world should be like that. Isn't it terrible that this is happening? Isn't it terrible that's happening? It's very easy for us to kind of be very insular and do that. But that's not what we're called to. It would have been easier for Jonah to do that. It would be easy for us to do that. But that's not what we're called to. The word of the Lord has come to me and to you, and we are called to arise and go. I wonder if you can turn to your neighbor and just say, arise and go. Online, maybe you can type it on the chat, arise and go. Jonah was called to arise and go. We are called to arise and go. We can gather together every day. We can talk to one another about the goodness of God, what Jesus has done. But the word of the Lord has come to me and to you, and we are called to arise and go. Jonah faced the unknown in this situation. He had no idea how Nineveh would respond. He not only faced rejection and potential death, to make matters worse, his own people were likely to ridicule him. They were likely to reject him, possibly even worse. Because the Lord was only the Lord for the Jews. To have a message that God was concerned for his enemy was madness. How many of you have found that since coming to Christ, or perhaps you've grown up in a Christian family, but there are people that have been in your life that have said, this Christianity malarkey that you're following is madness. It's madness. It's just make-believe. It's madness. We see in the story the word of the Lord had come to Jonah, arise and go. This is incredible. He had a message of repentance from sin, a call to bring it to those not listening or following him. And do you know what, folks? This is a message that isn't popular. Jonah's message to Nineveh wasn't going to be popular. Was not going to be popular. It was going to potentially be rejection. This message that we have of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is not popular. It is not popular. There's the potential that people will reject us as we bring the message of Jesus to them. Goodness knows that Pastor Tim and I, the last few months before he went to Brazil, we just felt like God was calling us to hit the streets. I don't know if he's mentioned it in a preach since I've been away. I've just come back from several weeks holiday. But we just felt we wanted to just walk the streets and see what Holy Spirit would say about offering prayer to people. So we've been doing that for several months now. And so far, not one person has said yes. But we have approached quite a few people to say, we just want to offer you prayer. You know, the rejection is going to come. As we bring Jesus, we're going to get rejection, and we've just got to get used to it. It's something that is just a part of our journey. The word of the Lord has come to us, to me, to you. We are called to arise and go. So let's just go back to Jonah's story here. It says this, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Forgive me if I'm saying that word wrong. It's just how I read it. You see, when called to do something difficult, Jonah's instant response was to run away. In fact, running away appeared to be the easier option. He was probably thinking, this way I can avoid death in Nineveh, and actually I can avoid the rejection of my people. So it's exactly what he did. He ran away. And this is very much the natural response for us when it comes to responding to the call of God, whether it be to share the message of Jesus, or whether it be that he's given you a specific word, a specific job, a specific thing to do. Actually, the natural response isn't absolute obedience. Not always, sometimes. But actually, the natural response, particularly when it comes to difficult things, perhaps you've been given a word of that you need to come alongside somebody, and it's a word that's actually quite challenging. It's a tricky word. Actually, and you think, actually, you can start imagining in your mind how that person's going to respond, and they're going to pick up their chair and hit you with it, is what your brain says. That's the natural response. Your natural response is to run away from those things. And when it comes to that moment, it's not like that we're in a position of we don't believe the word of God or we don't believe in the goodness of the gospel. It's not that at all. It just seems easier to maintain the status quo, doesn't it? To stay within our box, isn't it? Isn't that easier? Maybe it's just me. It seems easier to stay within the box than it is to step outside of it. Easier to keep quiet, avoid it at all costs. You know, you must have had moments where you've sensed maybe, oh, I can actually bring a word of encouragement here to do with God, but actually I'm in the workplace and how might they respond? And then, before you know it, the moment's passed, the moment's gone, and you kind of regret that. I've certainly had those moments. I thought it was quite interesting what a Jewish rabbi said about this moment of Jonah running away to Tarshish. And I wonder if I can just share it with you for a moment. This is what Sheldon H. Bank, a Jewish rabbi, has said. In Jonah's story, Tarshish, basically, it is anywhere, anywhere but the right place. It is the opposite direction, the direction a person takes when he turns his back on his destiny. It's the excuse we give. It's our rationalizations. That's what it represents in this story, because actually, commentators at the moment are not quite sure whether this is an actual event that happened, this Jonah event, or whether it was a Jewish story to teach the principles and characters of God. They're not quite sure. They're split on it. And it doesn't really matter either way where you come from on this. But actually, this Jewish rabbi is saying that Tarshish represents anywhere but where we're meant to be. So Jonah ran away to this place, anywhere but where he was meant to be. It's quite challenging. I found that quite challenging when I read that. The right place for Jonah was Nineveh. By fleeing to Tarshish from the Lord's presence, Jonah is announcing his unwillingness to serve God. That's what he's doing, his unwillingness to serve God. And actually, we can brush over this part of Scripture. It's actually quite significant, this moment in Jonah, because he's the first prophet of God to be in rebellion against God. Moses, Amos, Jeremiah, none of them had been able to resist God. They did, in the end, what he wanted them to do. But in this moment, Jonah absolutely 100% was in rebellion against God. He has had the word of God. He knows what he needs to do. He's got the instruction. And he decides and he takes decisive steps to avoid it. And what I found fascinating as I was studying this scripture last week was this. That this is an absolute parallel to the book of Genesis and what Adam and Eve did. What Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, or at least they tried to. They actively chose to deprive themselves of the joy and blessing of God-given and a God-present life. Instead of standing in his presence to serve him, their doubts led them to hide themselves from his presence. You see, that's exactly what Jonah was doing. He had allowed the fear and doubt of that moment to want to hide himself from the presence of God and leg it as far as he could. You see, Jonah was afraid of his calling. He allowed the fear of his calling to birth doubt within his mind. And fear and doubt were steering his life in that moment. I don't know about you, but there are moments in my life where I have regrets. There are moments where I look back and I think, wish I'd never done that. I can guarantee you that Jonah, looking back at his life at an older age, would have a regret of what he did in that moment. But fear and doubt were steering his life. And it led him to the wrong place at the wrong time, not where God wanted him to be. And as we read the scripture, from in the scriptures, we see that it led him into a stormy place. This in itself is a picture of what it looks like when you aren't in the right place. It can get stormy. It can get messy. And in fact, the consequences of disobeying God can not just be messy for you, but they can pull others into it as well. We see that the ship's captain and the crew were caught up right in the thick of it because of what Jonah had done and the journey that he was taking. And what's really interesting here, and you can brush over this in the story, is that Jonah did something quite interesting in the midst of the storm. I confess to you my fear of the sea. I've confessed to you my fear of boats, okay, this morning, right? This boat is in a storm. It's not a modern boat. It doesn't have a life raft, okay? It's more than likely made of wood, okay? It's not, you know, storms nowadays, you know, a lot of the boats can kind of weather them a bit and get back in. But in this instance, a storm meant that boat was going to get destroyed, okay? So what does Jonah do in the midst of the storm? He goes down to the bottom of the boat and has a kip. He goes to sleep. He tried to ignore it, bury his head in a pillow. He must have known there was a storm. And do you know what? This is what I feel God was saying as I prepared. Even in the midst of his disobedience. Oh no, I'm jumping the gun here. Even in the midst of his disobedience, he knew what he was doing. He knew that this storm was a consequence of his actions. And one response to the consequence of your actions when you disobey God is to bury your head and try and ignore it. Even in the midst of the storm, that is a legitimate response, but it's not the best response. It's not the right response, but it is a response. And I found it fascinating as well that even in the midst of the storm, the captain knew that Jonah was a God follower in some way, some shape and form. The scripture alludes to the fact that maybe Jonah told him a bit about his journey, but they certainly didn't know what God he was following and the details of it beyond that. And what I find interesting is that it doesn't matter how far you've run from God, people can still see the mark of God on your life. It may be that you're here this morning for the first time in a long time and you've strayed from God, but you thought, I'm going to come to church. I'm just going to see how it is. I just want to say to you that people can always see the mark of God on your life, no matter how far it is that you've journeyed away from him. Maybe you're watching online and you've decided, you know what, I'm just going to tap into church again. I want to say that people can see the mark of God on your life, no matter how far that you've run. They can see what you carry. I want to fast forward to verse 9 for a moment. You know, Jonah was in a tricky predicament, okay? He still knew who he was. Even in the midst of this tricky predicament, he still knew who he was, and he knew who God was. And you may well be in a mess right now. You may have strayed far from God, but deep down, it's not just about the mark of God that people can still see on your life. Deep down, you know who he is. You know who God is. You know who he's called you to be. Deep down, you know. And the word of the Lord has come to us, to me and to you. We are called to arise and go. And I wanted to bring today's message to a close by just hovering over verse 17 for a moment. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. I wonder if you can turn to your neighbor and just say, that blows my mind. I just realized there is such a thing as a blowfish. I don't think it was a blowfish that he prepared. It could have been a very big blowfish. Interestingly, side note, historically, there is evidence that this particular port reported issues with sea beasts, large sea beasts. And this is outside of the biblical account. So I just find it quite interesting that, you know, God provides a big fish in a port where actually historically they talked about the fact that there were sea beasts and all sorts. But anyway, that's a side note. Jonah had tried his best to run as far away from God as possible. He created a giant mess, was caught up in the consequence of his disobedience. And what does God do in that moment? What does he do, folks? When we look at that scripture, we see what he does. I can tell you what he doesn't do. He doesn't say to Jonah, I told you so. He doesn't say to Jonah, I told you so. He doesn't hit him with a big stick. There you go, Jonah. I'm going to punish you now for your absolute blatant disobedience. He doesn't kill him. What does he do? He sends him a big fish. This, friends, is the heart of Father God right here. I see the gospel in this chapter more than I've seen it before in the Old Testament myself personally, is we see that right in the midst of being in sin, right in the midst of absolute disobedience, making an entire massive mess, God protects Jonah. At that point, Jonah hasn't said, okay, guys, I fess up. God told me to do something, and I haven't done it. So I'm just going to get on my knees right now. God, please stop this storm. I will go to Nineveh. I will go to Nineveh. We're not at that point. Jonah hasn't said that. He hasn't said, I'm going to go. So he is still in disobedience, but God makes a way to protect him. Not only do we see God's compassion for his enemies right at the beginning of this chapter, but we see his compassion for those of us that know him, but sometimes disobey him, for those that are disobeying him. By calling Jonah to Nineveh, we see that even in the midst of disobedience, he's sustaining and protecting Jonah. Even in our disobedience, he protects and looks after us. I find that absolutely astonishing. If you've, at this moment in time, doubted the father heart of God, this scripture points to it truly. You might say, oh, well, Dan, prodigal son's a bit better. Well, actually, it is very good. But in this moment, God had absolutely 100% right to just let Jonah drown in the sea. Absolutely. He was in a place of disobedience. So even in our disobedience, he protects and looks after us. Don't think, well, okay, Dan, right, from this moment on, I'm just going to disobey. Because Paul talks about the fact that grace, we can, you know, empowers us, but it doesn't empower us to sin. But even in the midst of our disobedience, I want to say to you, maybe you've got a friend or a family member, maybe you're watching online and you're just worried about them. They've walked away from God. They've created an entirely big mess. Be assured, God is sending them a big fish. He will look after them. He will sustain them. Yes, he wants us to respond to his word, and he wants us to respond to his call with a great big yes. But he isn't standing at the door of our heart with judgment. He doesn't want us to carry guilt or shame because we haven't done what he wants us to do. No, he will sustain us and give us a chance to change the direction of our life. That's the message of the gospel, folks, is that God has made a way for you to return to him. And that message is going to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming and keep coming until you leave this place. I don't know how many options you have. I don't know how many chances he's going to give you to respond to his call. I don't know. There could be another 10. You might have had the last one this morning. Who knows? What I do know is he will keep bringing his message to you of you wanting for him, wanting you to repent and turn to him and follow him. You may have had a prophetic word that you've been ignoring for years, maybe even decades. And you may be thinking, well, do you know what? I've wasted it now. I'm about to get my bus pass. I don't think I've got time anymore. But God says to you this morning, you've still got a chance. He's sending you a big fish and you can respond to the word and you can follow him. Don't allow guilt, shame, regret, offense to pull you away from that word that God's given you because he's given you that word. He's given you that call. What do you need to do this morning? Respond to that big fish and say, God, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm going to arise and I'm going to go. Whether you're someone who has never followed him, someone that has walked away from him, or someone that just isn't responding to his word, the word to you this morning is still arise and go. So in closing, I want to ask you this. And I wonder if, Nathan, you can come up and that would be really good. So before us, we are all faced with that word, arise and go. If you've followed Jesus before, that word is for you. If you're a follower of Jesus, that word is for you to arise and go. So in closing, I want to ask you, in response to that word, arise and go, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Are you going to do a Jonah and go to sleep, bury your head in the sand, or are you going to just step forward and arise and go? See, God has a call on your life. He has a purpose for you to fulfill. Your life isn't about you and keeping up with the Joneses, fulfilling your life plan. No, it's all about him. And the word this morning is, it's not too late. It's not too late. So I wonder if you're able, if you can stand, for those of you at home, if you want to stand in your lounge or wherever you're at, that's fine. So perhaps you're listening online right now, live. Maybe you've caught up on demand. Perhaps you're here this morning and actually you've never made that step to arise and follow Jesus. Today is your day. You can do that. And you might be thinking in your mind, well, I've no idea. I've no idea how to do that. Well, I'm going to lead you in a prayer that you can just say in your mind or you can speak it out. But before I do that, there are a few obstacles that I feel like Holy Spirit is putting in my heart just to share. Maybe when I've said the phrase, follow Jesus for the first time, in your mind you're thinking, well, I'd like to do that, but I just don't feel good enough. The truth of the matter is none of us are good enough. None of us. In fact, the word says we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us isn't good enough. But Father God isn't there going, you're not good enough. He's going, come to me. So I'm just going to pray this prayer, and I wonder if you can just repeat it after me. If that's you, if you want to take that step, if you're watching online and you want to take that step, if you're here. Father, I'm sorry for living life my way. I want to live life your way. I want to invite your son Jesus into my life. I accept his forgiveness for my sins. I declare that he is Lord, and I want to follow you from this moment onwards. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you've prayed that for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. We've got a Bible for you. I'd love to pray for you, give you a high five if you're here. If you've responded online, please send us a message. We'd love to hear from you. Well, but where does that leave us? Where does this message leave us for those of us that have been following Jesus for a while now? The message from God is arise and go. And this morning, my hope has been that for many of us, that we will be challenged to continue to press into all that God has for us, whatever that looks like. I'm not saying that that from this moment, God is telling you after this meeting to go and stand outside Asda or Morrison's and start shouting the gospel at people or speaking the gospel. I'm not saying that's what he's calling you to. Some of you might be. That's fine. Go and do it. If he's calling you to do it, go and do it. For some of you, the call is just to let people know in your workplace that you're a Christian and that you follow him. For some of you, it might be that you haven't told your friends that actually this is a big part of my life. And that arise and go moment is about actually sharing that this is the journey you're on. It could be that actually God's given you a prophetic word for someone that you've been avoiding bringing. It could be that you've got a specific task that he's put on your heart and mind that needs to be done and you've been avoiding it. Well, this morning, God's word is arise and go. May I put it in my own words, which is, come on, get on with it. Lord Jesus, I just want to pray for each and every one of us. I know what you've put on my heart to do. And I know that I've not been walking in it completely. But from this moment, Lord God, I want to arise and go. I want to get on with what you've called me to do. I want to press into all that you have for me. And I pray that for each and every one of my brothers and sisters here this morning and those online, that they would be getting on with what you've called them to do. So right now, I just pray, Holy Spirit, I ask for you to help us. Empower us. Help us to see the big fishes that you're sending us. In Jesus' name, amen.